You know, I've always said it and keep saying it. It's amazing to me how this day, the Lord's Day, keeps coming together. And I encourage you this morning, if you weren't here at Sunday school, write down Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And I encourage you to read that sometime today, especially after this lesson. It's amazing how God works in our lives. I want to start off. I got this little book right here that was given to me last month. At work, we have what's called secret piles. At work, we pick names throughout the whole building, and we wrote down a little bit about ourselves, and we go draw the names, and then we have our own secret little pile. And every month or every so often, we'll go in the mailroom and drop a gift for them. So just to encourage them, they don't know who it is. They won't know till next February when we reveal the names. But this was given to me by my secret pal. It's Stay Strong and Courageous. It's a journal. So I figured what I'm going to do is a little pocket sermons that I've been developing. I'm going to put them in this. And this will be my book of pocket sermons. And what I'm working on right now, and what y'all saw last time I preached, is I want to do a series of lessons on lessons from Christ, His parables, with His teachings. That's what I want to bring to you. But it's funny, as we talked about, we were listening to the songs and listening to what we were talking about this morning. In this journal has a verse at the bottom of it. And I was reading that just a little while ago because looking over my lesson. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His act of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. That's Psalms 150, 1 through 2. So it's just amazing me how I see God's hands in action. Today's lesson and title this morning is called The Hidden Treasure. So those who are here this morning and in class, I've already making some type of connection already. The Hidden Treasure. I want to tell you a story about a gentleman who was looking for a certain treasure. He collected Civil War artifacts. He was looking for this one uniform that's very rare. It was green. It wasn't blue or gray. It was green because he was that type of soldier was with it back in those days with their snipers. They were very rare because they were on the front line and they were usually one of the first ones to get killed. So he was looking for this one uniform that valued in thousands of dollars. He went to this auction and he went through this box. And on about the second layer down of these old Civil War uniforms, he said, yeah, I got that one. And he pulled back and he saw that uniform. And he said he started to shake. But he didn't want to shake too bad because he didn't want people to realize what he was looking at. So he kind of pushed it down further down in the pile because other people looked at it. They're passing through to see what was in the auction. He pushed it down further and packed it down. So hopefully nobody else would realize what treasure there was involved. So when it came time to the auction, he said, I don't want to get too excited, don't want to overbid, don't want to seem too excited about this particular box of uniforms. He had most of them. So he started bidding just slowly, and then he got that box of uniform for less than $100. So everything that was in that box, those other uniforms pretty much paid for his $100, and then he was able to have that rare uniform, the Civil War uniform that were valued in thousands of dollars. But his description of it was he was so excited that he was just about shaking, didn't want to let it known that that treasure was there. This morning, I'm going to try to not hold you too long this morning because I can smell the food already. But if I do talk a little over, that's okay. That just means you're more hungry and able to eat more food this morning. So hopefully I won't hold you too long this morning. But I like what we've been doing. I said it last time that we're getting back to the basics, pulling out our Bibles, getting into God's Word. I have nothing fancy here. So I encourage you to turn over to Matthew chapter 13 and follow along as we go through these verses this morning. Matthew chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 44 through 46. This is a very short parable. It's just a couple verses, but I think it has so much in it. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then with his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for that fine pearls. And when he found the one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. He realized how valuable what they found and was willing to give up everything to be able to purchase that one thing of great value. What a thought. You know, I watch TV all the time, and I like those public channels, you know, that I like watching This Old House, Motor Week, and they have another show, it's the traveling auction thing that they do, to see what you have in your attics of the value, antique traveling show is what it's called. So they show what they find, and these people bring these stuff to these things, the paintings they have, and vases, and some of them don't look so pretty, but they bring these vases and this jewelry and all this stuff, and they get to see what the value is. And then when they pick the best ones, and so some of these people bring these paintings and stuff and say, hey, what's it valued? It's been up in my attic. I used to have it on the wall. My grandma gave it to me and passed it down for years and years, and asked her, how much did she pay for it? Probably about $40 or $50 in an antique shop. And they turn around and tell you, well, that painting's worth $10,000 or $20,000. And the people look on their face like, I've had that in my attic. And they have vases and stuff that's been passed down for generations, or they buy it at a junk store and not realizing it and putting it off on the corner. What I want you to realize this morning, and hopefully what you'll get out of today's lesson, is what's the value in this, in God's Word. What's the value that Christ and dying on the cross is to you. What the value of heaven is going to be for you one day. So often, so many people put it on that table and it collects dust. So often, I have my grandfather's Bible. It's been passed down from me from generations to generation. They may sit over in a corner, and we never realize and understand the value that what we have in our hands right here and what the world out there needs. The value of the treasure God has to offer. If y'all will turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be all over the Bible, so we're not staying in one place, so just keep your Bible at hand and be ready to flip through, and I'll flip through with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to read 4 through 7. The God of ages have blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, ourselves as servants of Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, make the light shine into our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the gospel of God, in fact, in the face of Christ. But we have a treasure in jars of clay, show this all superior power from God and not from us. Basically, what we're saying is we feeble person, the clay's a jar, have such a value that we need to spread out. You know, I look at my faults and realize, yeah, I'm probably a clay jar. You take a little bump and you'll probably crack me, and it won't take much because of my struggles, my sins, and stuff that I go through. But we have something in here that we need to share to out there, something worth great value. Because that first part in verse, the gods of ages, and that's a little g, blinds the minds of unbelievers. That's what we're fighting out there. But you know, when I was reading this, it was one of those moments that just came to me and hit me. You know, just reading something that God literally predicts something happened 2,000 years later. You know, back in 1947, there was these young men who were shepherding sheep and goats. They went in these dark caves along the Red Sea. And what did they find? God's Word. And what did they find them? In clay jars. They were in dark caves in clay jars, these young men found. Because you need, the Lord knows it becomes a time and age where people saying, oh, this ain't true. I had a discussion with somebody just this week about how true this word is. Oh, it was written by men. That's what I was told. And then I brought up the Red Sea Scrolls. There's no more proof, historical proof of the Bible being true than any other document in the world. The Bible has more historical document proving that to be true. And I just thought about that. The Lord opened up, guided those young men in those dark caves to find those Red Sea Scrolls to prove His Word once again for people not to believe it. But it's true. Turn over to John chapter 3. 2 through 7. John chapter 3, 2 through 7. I want to talk to you. Who's this treasure for? Because brothers and sisters, it's just not for everybody. As we were talking about this morning, this treasure is set for a certain people. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 2, it tells us this. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles and signs you are doing if God were not with them. Listen to Jesus' reply. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Then how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh is birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my sayings. You must be born again. One thing we got to realize, this treasure is for his children. We got to be of the Spirit. We've got to be of God. This is the only way we're going to receive this treasure. So if you're not born again, if you have not been baptized, if you're not following God's will, you're not going to receive this treasure. You're not going to find this treasure. The only way you can find it and truly obtain His treasure is to be born of the Spirit. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read 15 through 19. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read 15 through 19. For this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and glorified Father may give you the spirit of wisdom, revealing so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that ye may know the hope to which he has called who? You. The riches of his glory inheritance to the saints. And an incredible great power for us who believe, the power is like the works of the mighty strength. The inheritance that we receive that he has prepared for us, that he has prepared for each and every one of us, is to give unto the saints. But we only give it by the enlightening of his word. That's the only way we receive it, that we are enlightened. But so often we take this for granted. Look around. It's getting more and more where people don't have this very treasure in their hands, that we have this very treasure in our hands, and less people realizing the value that it's in it. So, not realizing the great gift that God gives us. It's a gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something, hey, I made enough money, I can go buy that pearl. This is a gift from God, because if you read down further in chapter 2, in verses 8 and 10, chapter 2 of Ephesians, it tells us this: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared advance for us to do. We got work to do, brothers and sisters. This gift that God gave us is to be shared. And the more and more we see this church gets smaller, the more and more we need to be working. Because we can't say, oh, well, I give up. They're not listening. It's not our job to make them listen. It's our job to try to share the word. It's our job to stand on top of it and preach the word as often as we can and as much as we can to whoever will listen. Because it was mentioned this morning, that's why I was just amazed how worship was going this morning. It was mentioned this morning that all we're supposed to do is teach and tell the people about it. No matter how this world is getting, I'm just amazed how God is at work if you allow him to work in you. But it can't work in you if you're just sitting back and not doing nothing. If you're waiting for something to happen, something to change, it's not going to change. What needs to change is us. We need to change our approach and the way we do things. We need to just follow God's commandments and preach his word. Because we can't earn it. You know, going back to 1 Corinthians, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, because we talked about this morning, about being discouraged and struggling. And what does the Lord tell us about that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the very end of the chapter. Turn to chapter 16, is right above it. And it tells us this in verse 57 through 58. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank goodness it ain't on our ability. It's through God's ability. That's one of the treasures. That's one of the gifts. And he tells us, therefore, my brethren, stand firm. Hear that? Therefore, my brethren, stand firm. Let nothing move you away. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Stand firm. Always doing the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The treasure we have to have, we need to share. We need not to give up. We need to let people know. We need to take those four little verses that we were talking about in Matthew chapter 13 and share it to everybody. There's great treasure. There's great value in this, even in today's times. More so in today's times. We have great treasure. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. I told you, I'll be flipping it this morning. Romans chapter 8. Verses 26 and verses through 28. Starting at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We're not doing this by ourselves, brothers and sisters. The Spirit's helping us. He's helping us find that treasure. He's helping us do those things. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning and words that cannot be expressed. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love Him, who have been called according to whose purpose? His purpose. For His purpose. That's where I wanted to stop at. It's not for our purpose, it's for His purpose. That's what we got to realize. We're here doing His mission. We're here doing His work. We're here receiving His rewards. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Hold on one second. Turn over to John chapter 15. Like I said, I've got y'all flipping all over the place and almost skipped over one. Flip over to John chapter 15. Verses 10 through 11. You know, you get discouraged. And you think at times, especially when you look around, it's hard to find joy. It's hard to find joy when you're working so hard and you don't see no good results. And because you don't fully understand. That's what I'm saying. If you would understand this, just like the lessons that we're doing in Proverbs, Jerry's talking about so much this morning, if you would just take that common sense and that wisdom and what we can get out of it, they bring you so much joy because you understand the value of the stuff that you have. And verse 10 through 11 says, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If we follow God's commandments, His commandments, just like Christ followed His Father's commandments, the joy of Christ, which He knows, He's there with His Heavenly Father now, He knows, and then we would understand the joy and the treasure that we have in His Word and what we have and what we're getting ready to look forward to. It's absolutely incredible. We can have the same joy. His joy makes us perfect. But Satan tries to discourage us. Satan tries to take away our joy because he doesn't want to know what we have in our hands. It's like those people who went to the auction. They took this painting to the auction and they had it for years. And this guy says, you realize how much that's valued? $20. How about $20,000? And we don't understand the value that we have right here in front of us, right here in this congregation. Because I'm telling you, the Lord is present in this congregation because I can see it from Sunday school to when we walk out this door, from our songs to our prayers to everything that we do here. God's hands are involved. And those who are online, and I'm glad that we can offer that to you, that you can be a part of that. But if you're online and you have an opportunity to be here, you're missing out on so much more. You're missing out on so much treasure that's here in this room this morning. We're missing out because we are taking it for granted, not realizing what an impact it can have on you. If you can't be here, I'm so glad we have it so we can share it with you this morning, because we have so many who need that live stream. But don't be the one, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on, no, I'm not. Don't be the one, if you're able to be here and you choose not to because it's more convenient to watch it from home, don't be that person. Because I'm telling you, you're losing out on so much. There's so much value here this morning that we sometimes, even being here, we can take it for granted. We can take it for granted that we come every Sunday, be here, and not realizing how much we can put into it and get at, we'll get so much more out of it. It's incredible. The treasures that we have. Just a couple more verses and I'll let you go so we can enjoy that fine meal. Will you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and starting with verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Never perish, spoil, or fade. I can tell you right now, all that stuff they brought to that auction show, one day will no longer be here. It will perish, it will fade, it will get broken, it will get stolen. But the treasure that we have, none of that will have. Why? Because it's kept in heaven for you. There ain't nobody getting to that. And it's sitting there waiting for you. The joy that I get to realize this morning is I realize I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. I've tried. I've tried to picture in my head how great that day will be. A great day is coming, but I can't picture it. I can't fully paint the picture that I need to. But one day I get to share that with all of you and with all my loved ones that have already gone because of that great treasure. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to reveal in that last time. In you, great joy through now a little while, you may have had to suffer grief into all kinds of trials. Yeah, we're going to suffer grief and trials. The Lord's going to tell us that. But it has nothing to compare of what we have and what we're about to receive. Has no comparison. It's like that guy who got that uniform. Basically, he got that one uniform for free. He had to follow the rules and go through stuff to be able to obtain that. But everything paid for it. You know, what we go through on a daily basis, the Lord's going to look out for us and bless us while we're here on earth. If we have the understanding and an understanding of that great. While you come to, so that, let me back up. The suffering, grief, and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of great worth more than what? Than gold, which perishes even through the finding by fire, may be proven generously and may result in the praising glory and the honor with Jesus Christ is revealed. When Jesus Christ is revealed. You think about that. We're going to be able to spend our time with the Lord. And what we go through has nothing to compare to what He has for us. And we need to understand why we're here on earth. If you understand it, you're not worried. You're not concerned. You're not concerned at all. Turn over to Revelations, what was read earlier. You remember what was read earlier in Revelations 21. You know, I lean on this verse, and we use these at funerals, but I lean on this verse on a regular basis, realizing this, that going all the way to verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. I look forward to that day. I so look forward to that day. How can you be homesick for a home you ain't seen yet? That's me. You know, we all have struggles, and I look around in this room, and everybody has struggles and pains on a daily basis. So I go through on a weekly basis of my body getting older and going through the things and the ache and pains. As some of y'all told me before, growing old ain't for wimps. But I get to look forward to that day where I don't have no more pain, no more sorrow. And that's only offered to His children. That's only offered to the ones who follow Him. That's where the treasure is. You want to find the treasure? You want to know where that treasure is? It's all right here. It leads you right to the front door of the treasure, step by step. Let us not take it for granted. Let us not just set it on the shelf. Let us just not show up to church and just do our actions of what we think is, hey, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Don't get in a routine, because what we read earlier, we need to be busy in God's work. We need to be out there working daily for Christ. We're going to inherit that kingdom that we do not deserve. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the day you get there and realize what you're getting, because it's going to be revealed to everybody at one point in time. Even those who say, I ain't no treasure. They're going to be on judgment day, and He's going to reveal that treasure to them and say, no, that's not for you. I never knew you. We read it earlier today that they'll be wailing. Wailing, calling on God on the last day. We read that this morning. Because they will really realize the treasure they gave up. But what He's going to tell us on that day is He's going to say, here, it's all yours. You get to dwell with me. You get to be a enjoy everything that I enjoy. It's all yours. But we can't receive it unless we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So this morning, I want you not to be discouraged with what we see out there. Because God's got a plan. You've heard me say that phrase before. God's got this. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. We just need to be working and following it each and every day of our lives. And realize what we're getting ready to receive. I wish I could throw it up on the screen what heaven looks like. Because once you realize that, you want to share it to everybody, you know, if they knew, if they truly knew what God has to offer, they would give up everything. They'd be like that person who found that treasure in the field. He'd bury it back up and sell everything he had, do whatever it takes to get that treasure. Or that fine pearl. Go sell everything he has and hope he can come back in time, but that pearl's still there. And running back. The excitement, even, I hate to say it, even within the church, is not there as what it used to be. We need to get excited about what's getting ready to happen. We need to get excited. Hey, if it's getting closer and closer, I hate to say it, but if you're going to miss out, I ain't missing out. That just means that day's growing that much closer the way this world is headed. And I am not going to be the one missing that boat. I just encourage you to stay strong. Realize the treasure God has for you. Today on this earth, today in this building, He has it for you. Realize what you have. Get excited about it and spread it all to anybody and everybody who will listen. Don't worry about, like I told you last time I preached, don't worry about where the seed lands, just spread the seed. Let him take care of the rest. But don't hold it back. It's not yours in the first place. This treasure that you have doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, and he expects you to share it. So I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're struggling through. We've got Jerry and Wesley here to help you through as the elders of this congregation, those great leaders that we have, to help you realize where you're at and help you get to that joy that you need to be at. If anything we can do for you now, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.